One last time, open up to Psalm 23. 6 weeks, this is week number six, we've been in Psalm 23. And we've been walking through this. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed this series, going through Psalm 23. Now, I told you from the beginning I had two goals for this series. The first goal, I want to remind you, was to encourage you. This day and time, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get disheartened and disillusioned. It's easy to get discouraged. There's a lot of people in our community. There's a lot of people in our church that are anxious and fearful. And what this psalm does is this psalm is here to refresh us. This psalm is here to encourage us. Now, meditating on this psalm has helped people for 3,000 years. That's how long the psalm's been around. But you know, the first person that it helped was David. David was the first person to be encouraged by this psalm because he was inspired of the Holy Spirit to write it. Just think about what was going on in David's life when he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this psalm. You know, before we get into that, I'd just like to say I've done some research on this, and there's a lot of sources out there, not a lot, but there's a good many sources that say that David wrote this psalm before he sinned with Bathsheba, because there's no way he could have written it afterwards. Their whole reasoning for this is they say things like, how could God use David to write a psalm like this after he sinned? And they say things like, oh, David sounds too innocent. David sounds too trusting. David doesn't say anything about guilt, and he doesn't say anything about repentance in this psalm. So it must come from an earlier time in his life. I'll tell you right now, I flat out reject that. I reject it. So you mean to tell me that because David messed up, he can never write a psalm like this? That every psalm that he had to write after he messed up should be about guilt and should be about repentance, and he could never bring himself to write something like this just because he messed up? That he could never be innocent and trusting again after he sinned? I reject that. If that's your only reason for dating this psalm, then I reject it. Because listen, God does not give up on you because you mess up. God does not throw you away because you made a mistake. That's not what God does. We've already talked about in this series how God restores us. So I submit to you today that David, going through the valleys that he did go through in his life, prepared him to write this psalm. See, this psalm is not about David being innocent. This psalm is about the Lord being faithful. And make no mistake, David did go through a lot in his life. He was chased by Saul. He was opposed by the Philistines. He had trouble in his own family, not to mention the sins that plagued him. Now, as he's a king and he's looking back over his life, contemplating what he should write, he thinks back to a time before he was a king, a time to when he was a shepherd in the field, keeping sheep. And as he does this survey of his life, the Holy Spirit inspires him to write the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he thinks through it a little more. He says, "You know what? When I was a shepherd, those sheep never had need of anything. When I was a shepherd, I gave those sheep everything that they needed. And guess what? The Lord is a better shepherd than I ever was." So with that, he pins the words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The words begin to come as day by day he works through this and writes down his thoughts as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it comes to his mind, man, if the Lord is my shepherd, then he leads me. He leads me into rest. He leads me into righteousness for his name's sake. You know what? If the Lord is my shepherd, he also restores me. He restores my heart when it wanders. He restores my spirit when it falters. He picks me up. He brings me back. He will never let me go. Then he continues to think about this psalm and says, you know what else? Lord guards me too. And I've walked through some dark valleys in my life, David said. And you know what? I've got some dark valleys ahead of me, including the darkest valley of them all, the valley of the shadow of death. And in all of these deep, dark valleys, I know my shepherd will be with me. Then he thinks about, you know what? If the Lord is my shepherd, that means the Lord sustains me too. Man, the Philistines hate me. My family hates me. My most trusted advisors hate me. Members of my own family hate me. All these people hate me. But though they hate me, the Lord never left my side. In fact, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, this whole psalm is a meditation on how what the good shepherd does for his sheep. And you can see David's strength being, David's faith being strengthened as he's writing this psalm. You can actually see it in the verses. Because he starts out by saying, I shall not want. And then he ends by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, Psalm 23 is an exercise in faith. Reminds us of Christians. It reminds us as Christians what it's like to be in Christ. That's why this psalm is an encouragement. Listen, I know you've been through the ringer. I know you've been through a lot in your life. I know sometimes you feel like that old cowboy saddle, been rode hard and put up wet. I know it feels like that sometimes. You need refreshment. You need encouragement. And that's what Psalm 23 is about. Psalm 23 is about us remembering all the things that are ours in Jesus. And when you remember that, your faith will be restored. That's a Bible promise. Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. That's what this Psalm 23 is about. This Psalm 23 is about the benefits that we're commanded not to forget. These are our benefits. And let's read one more time, verse 6, the last benefit. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Christian, when the Lord is your shepherd, his love surrounds you forever and ever and ever. And the shepherd's love is a love that pursues, and it's a love that welcomes. So with that, let's go to our first point this morning. A love that pursues. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I didn't grow up around sheep. I've been seeing some sheep around here lately driving down the road. But I didn't grow up around sheep down in South Mississippi. We grew up around cows. And, you know, I remember my pawpaw, he would drive out in the pasture and he had this dog that would go out and bark at the cows and get them running. It was funny to watch. But you know what that always reminded me of? It always reminded me of a sheepdog. Because, you know, when the sheep are gathered, of course the shepherd leads them, but who's bringing up the rear? It's the sheepdogs. And listen, you watch these videos on YouTube, and this shepherd whistles, and the dog goes out there and jumps on top of the sheep to get behind them, and then barks them and brings them right where they're supposed to go and brings the stragglers in. It's quite a interesting sight. Sheepdogs are beautiful. They're highly trained. They're intelligent. In fact, no shepherd today would be without a sheepdog. Douglas MacMillan quotes a Scottish shepherd who preached on this verse that we're looking at today, and he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Think of a shepherd walking in front of his sheep. The sheep follow him. Behind them are two sheepdogs chasing after the stragglers and keeping the flock close to the shepherd. So what this psalm is telling us is that as we follow the shepherd because he's leading us, we have two sheepdogs following us. And the sheepdogs are named goodness and mercy. So let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about goodness. The verse says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." I know some people out there, you say, "Man, I don't feel like goodness is following me. I really don't. I don't feel like goodness is chasing after me at all. I mean, I got a list of problems a mile long. I got a stack of bills a mile high. It doesn't feel like goodness is following me. It actually feels like trouble is following me." Listen, I know in life not everything always goes your way. But you got to remember something. You got to remember that you live in a fallen world. And because you live in a fallen world, sin has devastating and lasting effects. Look, this is not the world that God intended for us to live in. This is not it. This was not the original plan. God gave us a perfect world and we messed it up. We live in a fallen world that's ravaged by the effects and consequences of sin. The effects of sin can be felt everywhere. The effects of sin can be felt in our world. It can be felt in our own country. It can be felt at work. It can be felt at home. It can be felt in our family. It can be felt in our church. It can be felt in our hearts. So listen, I know you've got a lot of negative things in your life. I know that. But you got a lot of good things too. Don't forget about the good. I know you got some bad. I know you got some negative. But don't forget about the good things. Let me tell you something about those good things. You know where those good things come from? James tells us. James 1:17. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Every good thing you have in your life comes down from the Father of lights. So don't forget to thank Him for it. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, "Sinners blame God for everything and thank Him for nothing. Believers thank God for everything and blame Him for nothing." What is goodness? What would you say a good definition of goodness is? Well, let me give you a definition of goodness. Goodness is God giving us what we don't deserve. Okay? That's what goodness is. He's giving us what we don't deserve. And if you belong to the Good Shepherd, He says goodness is always chasing after you. So that's the first sheepdog, goodness. Let's talk about the second sheepdog, mercy. You know, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know, think about this. If goodness is God giving us what we don't deserve, then mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. That's what mercy is. You know why I'm happy mercy's chasing after me? I'm extremely happy that mercy is chasing after me, because if mercy is chasing after me, that means justice isn't. Justice isn't as kind as mercy. You don't want justice chasing after you. Let me tell you something. If justice is chasing after you, you're about to have a bad day. We'd all be in trouble. We go to Gatlinburg. Maybe we get on a tram or we get on a ski lift. We go up the side of the mountain and we see those empty slabs of concrete. And remember what that is. Those are from the wildfire that burned up the mountain and burned up those cabins. Think about the kids that started that fire and the people that died in it. We're reminded of it every time we go up there. But you know, that's a picture of God's wrath on the wicked. Did you know that? The picture of God's judgment on the wicked is that picture. Let's read it in Psalm 83, 14. Like fire that burns the forests, like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. I am so thankful justice is not chasing after me. I'm so thankful that the judgment, the wildfire of judgment, is not chasing me. Now listen, if you're chased by judgment and condemnation, you're going to run. But if you're being chased by goodness and mercy, why would you run? I'm just staying there and let goodness and mercy catch up to me, man. That's what I want. So goodness and mercy chasing after us actually brings us to the shepherd. In fact, that's exactly what it does. You have to remember that David, hold on a second. Yes, brings us closer to the shepherd. David has no doubt about this, because what does he say? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow after me. He said, hey, man, it's a fact. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Because when you belong to the shepherd, you can be sure of this, that judgment and condemnation will not follow after you. You can be for certain that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And then, of course, let's talk about this. Follow me. He says, follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Remember, David has already said that the good shepherd leads the sheep. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So if the shepherd's always out front, and the sheepdogs are always pulling up the rear. So that means every day of your life, 360 degrees, you're surrounded by God's love. You're surrounded by his goodness. You're surrounded by his mercy. There's a very ancient Celtic hymn that's actually attributed to St. Patrick in the 5th century. It begins like this. It says, I bind unto myself today the strong name of Trinity. And then this, it says, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts all that love me, the Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger. Listen, when you are in Christ, the love of Christ, it's beneath you, it's above you, it's beside you, it's behind you, it's inside of you, it penetrates you, you are surrounded by the love of Christ when you are in him. And you know, that sounds familiar. That sounds like a New Testament concept. In fact, we actually read about it in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then number four, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So when you are in Christ, these things are true about you every single day. On your worst days, you're never beyond the reach of God's grace. And on your best days, you're never so good that you don't need God's grace. All the days of my life. No matter what the future holds, no matter what's in store, no matter what's down the line, no matter what's coming, you can be sure that God's goodness and mercy will always follow you. The sheepdogs always head up the rear. And number two, say love that welcomes. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, these words can be understood in two different ways. In fact, some of you might have a footnote in your Bible that says for length of days. Okay? So it would say, I dwell in the house of the Lord for length of days. In fact, in Psalm 27, 4, David says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So listen, because of God's goodness and because of God's mercy, because the Lord leads me and restores me and guards me and sustains me, I will walk with him, I will worship him, I will love him, I will serve him all the days of my life on this earth. But if you ask my opinion, I think David's looking beyond life on this earth. I think David is actually looking into eternity. He's saying, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He looks beyond this life. He looks into the afterlife. He looks into heaven. He's actually looking at being in the presence of the Lord forever. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What will that be like? What will heaven be like? What will it be like to tabernacle with the Lord? Well, I'll tell you this, it's going to be a lot different than this world. It's going to be a lot different than this life you're living now. See, because when you dwell in the house of the Lord, your faith is going to be turned to sight. All the old battles and all the old fights you used to fight, you won't have to fight them anymore. All the pain and all the trauma in your life that you're carrying, that you've accumulated, all those old wounds are going to be healed. God's going to wipe every tear away from your eye. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how he's going to do it. I just know he promised he would do it. And on that day, you will see Christ in his glory. His kingdom will come down. Death will be defeated. Evil will be overthrown. Heaven is actually coming to earth. And God will dwell with his people in a world of love that makes everything new. Dwelling in the house of the Lord is going to be so much greater than any joy you will ever experience in this life. What's interesting is this. Even though your experience in heaven is going to be different than your experience here on earth, your relationship with Jesus is going to be the same. The Apostle John gives us a glimpse of what heaven is going to look like in the book of Revelation. What it's going to look like when God gathers all his children into his presence. Revelation chapter 7 verse 15 begins, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them into springs of the water of life. See, the relationship you have with Jesus now, it continues forever. That means if he's your shepherd now, he'll be your shepherd then. I want you to notice who the shepherd is. The shepherd is the Lamb. The Lamb is the shepherd. Why will any of us be in heaven? There's only one reason. Because that good shepherd came down to seek and save that which was lost. That's the only reason. Here's what that means. That means the good shepherd became a sheep. He took on flesh. He came into our world. He shared our life. He became the Lamb. He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Like a sheep before its shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. But God raised him up. God exalted him to the highest place. The Lamb of God is the Lion of Judah, and he reigns. He says, I give my sheep eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. And he will lead them into springs of eternal life. See, that's why heaven's never going to be dull. Okay? The shepherd's always going to be leading you someplace new. You know, we have this picture of heaven like we're going to be in a choir singing hymns, singing songs in a choir in heaven for all of eternity, wearing the choir robes and everything. That doesn't sound like heaven, especially with the choir robe part. But listen to me. We have this picture. But you see, in eternity is always going to be filled with something new. You see, heaven's not going to be this thing where, okay, hi, Jesus, and then we go off and do our own thing. No, no, no. We're going to be with him. He's going to be our shepherd. He's going to lead us into springs of living water. Jesus said to the Father in John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And when we get to heaven, this prayer of Jesus's will be answered. We will be where he is. We will see him in glory. He will be our shepherd, and he will lead us into streams of living water. I want you to think about this. The joys that we experience on earth, they don't disappear. They pile up. They go into this big reservoir of memories that we can drink from. Every birth, every wedding, every graduation, every celebration, every answered prayer. Every time God has done something in your life, it goes into this reservoir of memories that you can treasure and pull from all your life. You can go to that reservoir and drink. You can look back over your memories and you can treasure those moments. God lets you hold on to those moments, and God lets you keep those moments in your life. And every blessing you get in this life, that reservoir just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But here's the thing. The joys of earth are always mixed with sorrow. Even on our best days, the shadows are there. Every laugh is a reminder of time slipping away. Every celebration is a reminder that it won't last forever. You know what my favorite time was when I was a kid? My favorite time was Sunday dinners when I was a kid. Because what would happen is we'd all go over to Papa's house. And we would all, you know, my Papa fried okra, stewed tomatoes, biscuits, cornbread, all that stuff. He loved corn and peas and Crowder peas, and he loved that kind of stuff. And all my aunts and uncles would gather, and we would eat. And my cousins would be there, and we'd go play in the barn and push people off hay bales, and we'd go in the hallway at my papa's house and close all the doors in the dark and play dark hall and all that kind of stuff you do as kids. Looking back, I can look back and treasure those memories. Those are good memories. But when I look back on those memories today, you know what I'm reminded of? In this life, I can never have that again. A lot of my aunts and uncles have died. My papa's died. I've got cousins that won't even speak to each other now. So even though that's a precious memory, it's tainted with sorrow. Because in this life, I can never experience that again. Heaven's not going to be like that. You see, in heaven, joy is not tainted with sorrow. There will be no more goodbyes. There will be no shadows creeping in. In heaven, there is no fear of loss. The joy just keeps on increasing and increasing in him into a reservoir of joy. It just keeps getting added to year after year after year forever. Every moment in heaven is going to be a reason to rejoice. Nothing will ever fade. Nothing will ever grow old. I want you to listen to what Jonathan Edwards says. He points out that the joys of heaven will continue to accumulate. And he says, so think about that. Think about what heaven will be like when we've been in heaven for a million ages. To put what he says simply, the more you know of God, the more you will see of his beauty, the more you will see his beauty, the more you will love him, and the more you will love God, the more happiness you will have in him. We're talking about exponential growth in your joy. You know, when I began this series, I told you I had two goals, two purposes, to encourage and to entice. And I want to end the series where I started. First, to encourage. Listen to me, the greatest blessing you can ever know in your life is to be wholly owned by the Son of God. When the Lord is your shepherd, you can say, he leads me, he restores me, he guards me, he sustains me. Whatever happens in your life, whatever happens in your health, your family, your money, whatever happens in this country, no matter what happens, If the Lord is your shepherd, you will be able to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second thing is to entice you. What if the Lord isn't your shepherd? What if you choose not to follow the good shepherd? Well, then that's a choice to be your own shepherd. You choose to be your own God. You choose to be the captain of your own ship. You choose to be the master of your own soul. And in that case, this psalm has the opposite meaning for you. See, you won't be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You have to say, I am my own shepherd, I shall always want. I heard a pastor read Psalm 23 from the perspective of when the Lord isn't your shepherd. I'd like to read it to you. I am my own shepherd, and I will always want. Sin makes me restless. It keeps me from lying down in green pastures. It leaves me beside troubled waters. It ruins my soul. Sin leads me in the paths of unrighteousness, which I pursue for my own sake. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have great fear, for sin will be with me. Its guilt and shame will haunt me. Sin prepares a table before me in the presence of my friends. It promises much, but it always disappoints. My cup is always empty. Surely judgment and condemnation will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the lost forever. Who would want to say that? And if that's where you're at, why would you want to stay there? The good shepherd has come to seek and save that which is lost. He gave himself to you, and he calls you to follow him. The greatest blessing you can ever know in this life is to be wholly owned by the Son of God. And when you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, you can also say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're about to have an invitation. I hope that you've got something out of this series. I hope you've got something from Psalm 23. I want to encourage you, church. That's what Psalm 23 is all about. It's all about reminding us of the benefits that are ours in Christ. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his blessings. And on your bad days and on your worst days, you remember that he's your shepherd and you're his sheep. And goodness and mercy is always bringing up the rear. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody in here today. Maybe you've heard every sermon in this series. But maybe you're not a part of the flock. For some reason or another, you've not made that decision to give Jesus your life. You've not made the decision to make him your Lord. Do that today. You see all the benefits that come with being a part of the flock of God, with being wholly owned by the Son of God. Don't pass it up. He's calling you today. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. Don't reject him today. Oh, I won't be able to live my life like I want. Who cares? Make Jesus your shepherd. Be a part of the flock today. I'm going to pray. Our invitation will begin. And when that happens, whatever's on your heart, spend some time with God this morning. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being our shepherd. Lord, I thank you that I shall never want. I thank you that because we are a part of your flock, you will guard us and lead us and sustain us and all these blessings. I am so thankful to be a part of the flock of God. I pray if there be somebody in here today Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, that they come to this altar today so we can show them how they can know that they know that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, let us take some time this morning and just thank you and praise you for the love, the undeserved love that you rain down upon us, Lord. For you are good and you are merciful. Be with our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.